from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4, verse 23 and following. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Church, people of faith, this is the word of the Lord. In this scripture that Matthew shares with us today, he begins by proclaiming that all sicknesses, he lists everything that would plague a person that he could think of in the first century world. He spoke of the body illnesses, the paralytic. He spoke of the epileptic, what they would consider lunacy, the mind illnesses of that time. The body, the mind, and then also the soul, as he spoke of the demonic. In other words, Matthew wants to make it clear to us that Jesus came caring for our entire person. Every illness that plagued the people throughout Galilee. You know, I heard recently Miss Ann Wigington tell me about a person who was plagued with many illnesses. And he fought through so many illnesses, he just didn't have much hope. Maybe we feel like that at times. This particular person, he kind of felt like he was just dwelling on everything that he was plagued with. He said, you know, I just can't get around anymore. I can't move. I'm slow. My reaction time, I guess I'm getting old. I'm just not as quick of foot as I used to be. And he said, also, if I'm not careful, if I just sit down very long, I just go to sleep. I just go right out. He said, you know what? I can't see good. He said, in fact, if I don't turn my head kind of like this and look through my periphery, I can't even really make out what I'm doing. He said, but I guess I'm complaining an awful lot. I need to give thanks. At least I can still drive. He was plagued with many illnesses. But even in his plague, he thought of what he could be thankful for. You know, there probably is a deeper message for us. And a reminder for us, as people of faith, when we're plagued with sickness, with questions, with injury in this broken world, of what is God doing? Where is there somewhere room for us, even in those darkest times, to give thanks and consider what God might be doing to strengthen us along our journey? You know, I guess one question that comes to mind for us when we consider this scripture and our own journey of life and family is, why is sickness in this world? We spoke of a little bit in our young disciples' time this morning that sometimes it is clear. We understand that some of the perils we face is indeed brought upon us by ourselves. If I eat too many turnip greens or mashed potatoes or lo and behold, heaven forbid, fried chicken, then Dr. Elliott is going to tell me, Jody, you're going to have to get a new belt. You're going to have to cut it back a little bit. Your illness is not going to respond well to your diet. Sometimes we understand. We bring the sicknesses on ourselves if we don't wash our hands. If those kids sneeze on us at school, Elizabeth, we know oftentimes where the sickness comes from. But sometimes we face events in our life that have no answers, right? Our family those we love, our community, and yes, sometimes our nation is invaded with an illness or a brokenness that's bigger than us. And it's at those times that the question perhaps arises most of all, that why is there sickness? One thing is certain in our questions is that God gives answers. And God, through Jesus Christ, brings healing and hope into our sicknesses. As Matthew began, whatever the perils we face, whether they be body, mind, our soul, Jesus is the physician that journeys with us, dear church, through our brokenness. So maybe as we consider the question of sickness, it inspires us to look a little more deeply of why did Jesus, the Lord of life, why when he came down from heaven did he bring healing to so many plagued with sickness? You know, the first thing I think of is the writing of the prophet Isaiah, who said this in Isaiah 35 about the coming of the Messiah, about the one coming down from heaven. These are the words the prophet proclaims. He said, "Say to those with fearful hearts." Now he's speaking to me. Isn't he speaking to you at times? Haven't we all been fearful of our own illnesses, the own injuries that we face, the problems or perils that our family is inundated with? Isaiah proclaims here, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come." You see what Isaiah is telling us? He's proclaiming that the Messiah will come down from heaven. In our fear, in our peril, to walk with us through the darkness of this world. So Isaiah is saying the Messiah is coming. He continues by saying he will come to save you. And this is the sign of his coming. This is what it will look like, Isaiah says. The eyes of the blind will be open. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer. Friends, that is what it will be when our God comes into his glory. And Isaiah is saying here in 35 that when the Messiah comes, the Savior, you can be sure to see those signs even now. So it seems that one reason Jesus came healing was to proclaim in deed as well as word that he was the Son of God. He wasn't just an itinerant preacher. He didn't just go around teaching and preaching and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. No, he practiced the gospel and did the very miracles of grace that could only come from heaven. So one, Jesus came healing to make it crystal clear to people of faith that he indeed was, is, and will forever be the Savior of all who trust into him. He is the Lord. Another reason it seems that Jesus came preaching not only through his words, but also through his actions is revealed to us in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 9, a little bit later in this book, it says to us once again that Jesus continued preaching and teaching and healing because, this is the word it says, because he had compassion upon his people. See, friends, I find that good news. Jesus came healing not only to reveal his glory, not only to proclaim that the kingdom had come to the earth, but for this very reason too, because he loves you. Because he has compassion in your needs. When you are hurting, like any loving parent, as we spoke of in our young disciple time, like any parent cares for their child in their sickness, in their brokenness. Friends, our Father in heaven, our brother and Savior and Lord, looks upon us. And he says, in the words, as he heard of Lazarus' death, Jesus wept and Jesus embraces our needs with compassion. He loves us. So he brings healing and wholeness to us in our needs. I understand more clearly, and perhaps we all do together, why Jesus came healing so many. But for me, the inquisitive one, one who grew up, this is Jody, with the nickname of Why. My parents called me Why. Why did they call me Why? Because I asked why all the time. I wanted to know. I had an inquisitive mind. And this scripture, as much as it tells me why Jesus brought healing to many, it doesn't answer this question for me, friends. And perhaps it's on your heart too. Why didn't Jesus heal everyone? We got a better understanding, didn't we? We receive more information here of why Jesus brought healing to so many. But why, church? Why, pastor? Why, people of faith, did he not bring healing to all? Maybe we have to look at the overall scriptures and find answers to this text, even in our Old Testament writings, in Judges chapter 7, the beautiful passage that proclaims to us the call of Gideon. Some of us know the story of Gideon, the great warrior of God, the great person who fought for the people of Israel and led the army against the Midianites. In Judges 7, we hear the account where Gideon has some 32,000 troops. Now, that's a good army, isn't it? A good army to go and fight against the people of Midian. And God says this to Gideon. He says, you have too many. You have too many warriors. We've got to cut it down. So say to them, say to everyone that is fearful and uneager to fight, to go home and let us fight this battle without you. 22 went home that day. There were 10,000 to remain. Still a good army. God said that still too many. He took them down to the brook. Many of us know the story. And he said, I'll give you the sign. As they drank from the water, those who cupped the water in their hands and drank, let them go. But those who lap the water like the dog, take them and fight. I suspect Gideon wishes that he'd given him the sign the other way around. Because after the numbers were tallied, there were only 300 troops remaining. And God said, this is my remnant. This is the 1% that will go forth in my way to proclaim my glory. And finally, God said to Gideon this in Judges 7. Take a look at it when you have the opportunity again. God explains his reasoning for using that small number. He said, if I don't do this, these people, my people, will boast against me. And they will claim the victory for themselves. You know, I find that as a reminder to me. I'm prone in my journey to claim the victory for myself. What about you? If I attain the victory in my own strength, it's tempting to say, boy, I did good. How about you? Or if we as a church, or perhaps as a family, find ourselves in great financial stability, busting at the seams in what we're doing, it's tempting for us, as it would have been for the people of Israel, to boast in our own strength instead of that of God. In our weakness, Paul would say, we are strong. So surely one of the reasons God doesn't bring healing to every circumstance in our life is that we will remember in whom we find our strength. In our weakness, in our peril, we rest upon God's strength. And speaking of Paul, he gives us an analogy in the New Testament very similar to that of Gideon, that reminds us of his weakness, of the thorn in his flesh. Dr. Charles Stanley once spoke of Paul, the two lessons that he reminds us of what God is doing when he doesn't heal when we want, and where we want, and how we want. He said, consider this. Many of us are familiar with Paul, the great apostle, having the thorn in his flesh. We don't know what the thorn was. Was it a physical ailment? Was it a nagging wife? No, it couldn't have been that. Was it? We don't know what it was. But one thing is certain. The flesh continued to feel the thorn. And imagine, friends, if the thorn had been taken from Paul. Imagine Paul, one who was prone to think very highly of himself, one who was very entertained with his own thought process. He was an extremely great intellect, a great mind. Paul would say in himself that when I am weak, I am strong. He learned by the thorn, by going through the peril, by facing his own brokenness and not being completely healed and restored, that his hope was not in his strength, but in God's strength. So God, sometimes it seems, doesn't bring healing to every situation, every circumstance that we go through. Sometimes it's hard to say this, it is a gift for us. Seems to be the case for Paul. Certainly, Paul didn't enjoy the thorn, and neither do we the perils that we face. But how many times have we gone through a peril, get through it on the other side, and then somehow be able to say, I never want to do that again, but I'm grateful to God that I went through it. Through that peril, we find our strength. And it is, at times, for us. Paul also gives us another example of why perhaps healing doesn't always come when we want and how we want. Paul, as we know, was imprisoned. He spent many years shackled in jail. And I can only imagine Paul saying, God, deliver me from this. Bring healing to my bondage. Set me free, right? Wouldn't that have been our prayer? But dear souls and people of faith, had Paul been set free, today we would not have the majority of the New Testament scriptures. For it was in prison. It was in his bondage. It was in his incarceration that he was able to slow down, stop preaching, stop his missionary campaign, and write the majority of the New Testament of our faith. See, sometimes God doesn't bring our healing right now, right when we want, not only for us, but also for the world around us. That's exemplified in Paul's life. His own thorn helped strengthen him. It was a gift to him of God's grace. And his imprisonment became a gift to people of faith throughout history. So God indeed says to us in our prayers. Sometimes his answer for healing for us is yes. And he is still a God of miracle. He is still the great physician. So we do pray with faith and trust God. But just as we search for the yes, may we embrace with faith that sometime the answer is not yet. Sometime the answer is, I have something better for you right now. Friends, the message of our Savior, as we've talked about through these last few weeks, where Jesus came teaching, preaching, and healing, is always this. It's about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven. These miracles are signs that heaven has come to earth. And these miracles are a promise to us that God will heal us from our illness, from our sin, from our brokenness. I leave you today with the story of a young child. A young child who could not walk like normal children, if we can use that word. A child that had to wear braces upon his leg, and he was in kindergarten, and each day at nap time, the teacher would take off his shoes and then take off his braces so that he could have a nice nap. But every day the child was adamant. He was persistent that he wanted his shoes put back on his feet after the braces were taken off. This was quite a tedious task for the teacher. So she found herself taking off and putting on the shoes four times within 30 minutes. And finally she said, I'm not going to put these shoes back on unless you can give me one good reason why you need these shoes on when you sleep. He said, Teacher, what if I dream I'm running? She continued to put the shoes on. Friends, God brought healing. Jesus came down from heaven to deliver people from their sickness, to show and promise and help us to dream as a small child with broken knees that one day we too will run in all of our glory in heaven forever. Amen. Let's pray now. God, we respond in faith this day, giving you thanks for the gift of life that we have through our Savior. And even as we who are believers celebrate our salvation, we lift up in prayer with you and for those today who've not began their journey of faith. May they have the courage to cry out in the words of the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. May we know even now that we can begin that journey as he did this day, making you the Lord of our life now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.